Well, you're ready for the word this morning?
Yes.
Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse. Still working today. Still working, still manifesting, still glorifying God, still bringing his glory into the earth. But let's share it together. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us, point at yourself, through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Now, last week it hit me as I was preparing the message that a fragrance fills the room. If you have a strong fragrance, I mean, it just permeates everywhere. You know how cigarette smoke will get into your clothes, get into your furniture and all that? I'll tell you, the fragrance of God will drive that smoky stuff out. The fragrance of God is greater, amen, and it fills the room, and it saturates our clothing, in Paul's day, they would take handkerchiefs and pass them on to the sick. Now, how could they do that? Because the fragrance of God got into the material, and when they prayed over it, it transferred the fragrance of God, and people would take home handkerchiefs and lay it on people, and they would be healed. Do you know that still works today? Glory be to God. See, what we think is old really is current. It still works today. The Word of God is just as effective today as it was in the days of Jesus. It's just as effective as it was in the days of Paul. It's just as effective in the days of the apostles or 500 years after that or 1,000 years after that. You know, people used to hunt out the priest to have them pray for them because they knew the priest would heal them. They knew that. They accepted it. They believed that. And this is why Galatians, in our study of Galatians, is so important, because go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Paul writes, he said, now this is in the first few years of the church. The church is not any older than possibly 20 years old at the time. So this is around 53. I'm not exactly sure when Galatians was written, but it's in the 50s to 60s A.D., just recently after the church is going on. And now listen to this. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Now, crucified there doesn't mean that, we really painted a picture of his dying. Crucified means death and resurrection. The crucifixion is not complete if you don't preach the resurrection. So he says, Jesus was plainly preached before you and displayed before you and portrayed as crucified, but also the power of the resurrection was displayed. That means they got healed, they got delivered, they got set free, they saw shackles break off, they saw lives change. This was proclaimed, was portrayed. You saw this right before you. Verse 2, he says, now you've been bewitched, but verse 2 says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? He says, you've been bewitched because you've abandoned the truth and you're believing something that is not the truth. And what they've fallen back into is the pattern of the law or legalism. We'll get into that a little bit today. But this is what they're falling back into. And the same question is before the church. It's before us as believers today. Who has bewitched us that we should so quickly fall away from the things that got us saved? You know, when you accepted Christ, you didn't see him. You weren't there in Jerusalem when it happened. You heard someone preach the gospel of Christ, and he was portrayed before you as died and raised from the dead, and that if you believed in him, you would have new life. And we just believed. We hadn't seen anything, we hadn't noticed anything, but we just believed. In our heart, our inner man cried out for God that we needed help, and we were born again and filled with the Spirit of the living God. And after a while, it's so easy to fall back under legalism. It's so easy to get bewitched again. And he says, who has bewitched you that you gave up your liberty in Christ? To give up the freedom, the reality of the born-again experience, and just fall back into religion. Fall back into just, well, we go to church today because, well, it's Sunday. I mean, after all, that's what you do. No, it's Resurrection Day. I want to remind you that Sunday is Resurrection Day. Sunday is the day Christ was raised from the dead. Why do we worship on Sunday? Oh, it's the first day of the week. Well, not totally. I mean, yes, that's part of it. But we worship on Sundays because it is the Resurrection Day. And we celebrate the you ought to get excited about this, I'm telling you. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with him, our own resurrection. Amen? It's not just a religious duty. Well, it's Sunday, we got to go to church. No, no, no. I'm celebrating resurrection. I'm celebrating that new life in me. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 95 real quick. Just a couple of verses. Verses 7 and 8. This kind of makes the point here, similar to Galatians. Verse 7 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." We belong to God, amen? That's what he's saying. We belong to Almighty God. We belong to to our Father because we've been born again. Verse 7 finishes, says, "Today, if you will hear his voice..." Woo, hallelujah. If you will hear his voice, how many of you know God speaks? He still speaks to us on a regular basis. Verse 8, if you hear his voice, oh, takes a turn here, doesn't it? "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness." I mean, it just goes whoop, whoop. I mean, boy, we're his children. We're the sheep of his pasture. Oh, man, if you hear the voice of God, yeah, hallelujah, don't harden your heart as in a day of rebellion. Don't get a stiff neck in the trial of the wilderness. And he goes on from there. But see, there's a tendency to have your heart hardened. After you've received the grace, the mercy, people come in and they start talking, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. And they're hopefully at the best they're trying to help you. But a lot of them are just mischievous. They just like to come in and see if they can get you away from the truth, because men have almost always sought to control other people. See, God still speaks to us by the Spirit. We shared last week, every person has a witness of God on the inside of them. All these people now that are so anti-God, they're anti-God because they have a spirit of God bearing witness to them, and they're resisting the voice. They're resisting the things of God. They have shut their minds off to him. In the rebellion, now think about this. In the rebellion, God spoke to Israel with an audible voice from the mountain, and they refused to hear. I mean, an audible voice. How awesome is that? He spoke to them. They could hear him with their ears, and their response said, "Oh, no, 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 we don't want to hear this." You don't want to hear God? You're the people of God. Now think about it. God just brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea. They watched Pharaoh get destroyed right behind them. They're out there, and God says, "Come to my mountain that you might worship me." And he speaks to him. He says, "I will make you a nation of priests." Oh, God, that's too much to hear. Oh, God. No, 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 no. And they started saying, "No, God, you talk to Moses." Because... see, when you talk to another person, I can be critical because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, Father, you speak to Moses because we can contradict him. Do you really think God told Moses? Do you? Well, did you see what Moses did? He almost lost his temper the other day. You got to watch out for this Moses fella. He thinks he hears from God. He's in that temple all day long. What do you think he's doing in that temple? Do you think he's really just talking to God all that time? I don't think so. Now, but if God talks to him with an audible voice, this is God. I mean, for everyone to hear him at one time. So they can't criticize that, but if you talk to Moses, we can be critical of Moses because, well, you know, Moses is just like us. He's just a man. Remember in the rebellion, some people said, "Well, how come Moses gets to talk to you and we don't get anything?" Well, because you chose to not listen to God. You hardened your heart in the day of rebellion. Now, God gave Israel the law because they were puffed up. Because one of the things they told God and told Moses, you speak to Moses, and God, anything you tell him to do, we can do it. I mean, they were puffed up like the Tower of Babel. I mean, God, we're going to build a tower to you. And see, the reality, God gave them the law because he said, I'm going to tell you how holy I am. Let's see if you can live up to it. Well, they failed the first day. I mean, the reason he gave them the law was because they messed up. You know, you don't have to correct people if they haven't messed up. Amen. So when correction comes your way, it's because you messed up. You know, whether it's from people or from God, there's something that you didn't do quite right. Well, they're always picking on me. Kind of makes you feel like you're under the old covenant law, doesn't it? I mean, you go out of your house, you touch somebody that's unclean, you bump into somebody, oh, now I'm unclean, I got to go back in the house, it's got to be 7 days of purification, I can't go to work. It's like, you know, even at Walmart they have Sani wipes. You know, I mean, can you imagine living today under the conditions of the law? We'd have a barrel behind us or a truck, a cart that we'd be pulling behind us full of Sani wipes. Is Santa wipes? Am I Santa? And every time you bumped into, oh, I got to clean myself off because hey, they could have been filthy. They could have been dirty. You don't know where they've been. Ha ha ha! Whoa! Watch it! And we're always, it's like, praise God, we live under grace, yeah. Amen. But they were puffed up, and the law, it became all about them. Well, see, I keep the law better than you do, but if you break one part of it, you're guilty of all. So there's no benefit for keeping 90% of the law. Or 99% of the law. You still goofed up. You are in big heap trouble. We used a little Indian talk there. I was raised in Oklahoma. You know, some of my friends were Indians. True, they were Indians. I didn't know it till later, but they were Indians, I found out. Anyway, Babel was puffed up. They wanted to build a tower. Now, the tower wasn't to reach God. The tower was see what we can do. Look at us. We can build a tower to God. And they decided to use bricks rather than stone. Stone represents individuality. Stones, you have to work to put stones together. You have to shape stones. You have to arrange them. But bricks, ooh, bricks are easy. Bricks are made with a mold. Now, let me say this to you. When you use a mold to produce things, you have already determined the outcome of the brick. It's been predetermined to the size, the color, the shape. Everything is predetermined. That's why bricks relate to socialism. Stones relate to God because we're all unique. And God is building us as living stones together into the house of God, not as a bunch of preformed bricks whose outcome is already known. I noticed this week there was a movie on TV. It's not the first time this movie has been made, but somebody wakes up and they realize that in the society they're in, future society, that they have been pigeonholed and they've been put into a certain type of school because they say, well, you're only fit genetically and by your family lineage and everything, you're only fit to be in this area. You'll never get the opportunity to be this other thing. Kind of sounds like India with the caste system that you can't move from one caste to another. But in Europe they do that, have done it for years and years and years. They take your test when you're young and they predetermine whether you should go to the college or whether you should go to a technical school. Edison and Einstein both would have been assigned to the technical school because they didn't have any brains. Boy, did they goof up their IQ test. You know, but they were so smart that to everybody else they appeared to be dumb. You know, we talked to someone the other day. They were telling us that their children are DDH. I think, is that right? DHD, I can't even get the letters right. But they can't focus on any single thing. But if you put that kid in a position where he multitasks, he can handle it all. He just can't focus on one. It's too dull. I'm like that. I wish. I get to multitask less and less and less because I can't think about that many things at one time. But anyway, there's people that are made. You can't put us into a box because people are unique. People are different. People are individuals. But in the Tower of Babel, they want to make everybody alike, predetermine the outcomes so they could build this tower to God because it would be a monument to the ability of man to build this great thing. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verses 4, and it says, and this occurred because the bewitching of the Galatians occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And you could insert to them. Okay, to them. Now, the church in Galatia had given away their liberty to self-serving men. Think about that. To people that were puffed up, people that were prideful, people that we keep the law and we know how you ought to do it. And we are going to build bricks and we're going to predetermine all this. Now, you said, well, Gordon, where are you getting this from? Well, in the last days. Have you ever heard that phrase? In the last days. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 to 9, I'm going to try not to comment. I think you can get the gist of that. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Oh, man, does this describe the news today? I mean, they're just out there slamming this person and that person. They're this, they're that. I mean, they're slanderers without any evidence, without any proof. There's not a valid accusation in so many of them. It says, they're unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. We're going to build a tower. A form of godliness, but denying its power. Ooh. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now, this is not a girly thing here, okay? Now, I want you to listen to this. In verse 6, these are the sort who creep into households. Now think about it. They creep into households. They come as false brethren. They come as, we're here to help you. And they're creeping into all these households, making people captive who are loaded down with sin. Listen, if you know you are forgiven, it's harder for people to creep up on you. If you know who you are in God, it's hard for the thief to creep up on you. But if you don't know who you are, if you are confused by sin, if you are lost in sin, it's easy for you to be taken captive because you don't have discernment to know what the truth is. You don't have the understanding. So these people can creep up on you. Oh, I've got this secret elixir, and you need to buy this from me. Saying you need, they're hucksters. They're frauds. They're vile. And here they are. They're creeping into people's households who are loaded down with sin and led away by various lusts, and they take them captive. They get them under their spell because we have the help for you. He says, of such people, turn away. I don't think it's talking about just women, but he's using it as an example because women in that day and age particularly tended to be uneducated. They tended to not be able to read. They tended not to be worldly. They tended to not be as educated in the ways of the world. And they were always just susceptible. But now you've got anybody with sin who's laden down with sin is easily susceptible to someone to come along. I've got your answer. Lean on me. Trust me, I will help you. You know, our poverty rate is worse than it was when they instituted the program of welfare. It's worse now. our education, since we've improved our education, about every 4 or 8 years we get a new education program and it keeps getting worse. We have college teaching high school material now because they're getting people that cannot read in college. Businesses are having remedial reading courses for college graduates because when they get out of college, many of them cannot read. The problem is they haven't applied themselves. Everything has been given to them for free. We had a housing crisis market because why? The government passed a law that you could not discriminate against people for giving them housing loans who had no way to repay the loan. That was discrimination. And so they were selling loans, giving out loans to people that they knew would be turned down because they didn't have the ability. They didn't have the ability to pay the loan that they were receiving. And then we had a housing crisis market, and the government blamed the banks, who by law could not refuse the loan. That's why the banks were smart when they made the loan. They turned around within 6 months and sold the loan back to the government, who would guarantee the loan because the government can always print more money. Hallelujah. Isn't this great how this system works? And people wound up still losing their homes. Oh my. See, we're going to build this Tower to Babel because we just know so much. And we're going to predetermine the outcome rather than having you recognizing that you're a stone and working with you to improve your life. Let's go on. Let me just say, I said this a couple weeks ago, but I want to say it again. The United Nations statement regarding social justice: present-day believers in an absolute truth identified with virtue and justice are neither willing nor desirable companions for the defenders of social justice. Now think about this. This is what the United Nations said. We are out after social justice, and one of the enemies of us in our social justice is those who believe in justice. Excuse me? Did I read that right? Yes, I did. The ones who the United Nations says you cannot join with for the concept and the cause of social justice are those who believe in virtue and justice. That's the church. That's you and I. That's why you're racist. That's why you're horrible people, because you believe in virtue and justice. You believe in truth. You believe in liberty, and you become a limitation to those who want to come in and creep into people's houses and take them captive, because you're not loaded down with sin. You already have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. See, the world is under the curse of sin. A sin is unbelief in Yahweh. It is the result of refusing the true God. Now, let me go through a few things here. I won't read it to you because it's way too lengthy to read. But in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about those who don't believe and will not obey the commandments of God. And I'm going to kind of summarize this for you. But this is a result of not trusting God. This is what the Bible says will happen to those who refuse to believe God and obey God: confusion, plague, war, climate change, it's in there, destruction, and inability to create increase, or an inability to prosper. Chapter 28, verse 43, it says this: the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you will come lower and lower. Does that fit today? They're talking about giving free health care to illegal aliens. Now, I'm not opposed to them having health care. That's not the issue. The issue is you and I don't get free health care. But we're going to give it to them. The alien will rise above you. They'll get benefits that as citizens you cannot get because, we've got to tax you in order to pay for all the free programs. Bernie Sanders came out about a month ago and said the middle class will have to have tax hikes in order to pay for all these programs. I'm telling you, they are out to destroy the middle class. We'll get to that reason in a moment. Deuteronomy goes on in 28. He says, you will devour your children. Ooh. You will devour your children. We're doing that today. And along with every sickness and every disease. It's even not written in the Bible. Now, if you go on to back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. And then jump down to verse 13 in 2 Timothy 3. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These people are deceived. They think they're deceiving you when they're actually the ones who are deceived because they've already rejected truth. They've already rejected virtue. They've already rejected these things because they want to predetermine the outcome and they want to do it without God and without recognizing who God is. This is a hard statement, but I'm serious about it. The KKK is still alive among us, and they are still Democrats. I think, Gordon, that's a harsh statement. Now listen to this. They are forcing those who think for themselves to stay in the fold. They are working to reestablish slavery under the banner of socialism. I got to get this so you understand where I'm coming from. Liberalism, socialism, and progressivism divide people into two classes of people. There is no middle class. Middle class is an aberration. Middle class is something you don't want because middle class people, they're not wealthy, but they're well enough to do that they don't need anybody to supervise their lives. That's what the middle class represents. They're free, independently free because they're middle class. But when you read any article, I'm going back to the 1850s, 1840s, about socialism, because that's when it started coming in to the world and that term began to be used. There's only two categories of people. You are either a victim or an oppressor. Now, listen to the language that is being out there. It was said the other day, if you are a Republican, you are a racist. Now, what do they mean by that? If you are a Republican or if you are a conservative, not all Republicans are conservative, but if you are a conservative, you are an oppressor because that's what racists do. Wealthy people oppress the poor. How many of you remember it being said on the news, the wealthy got all their money by stealing from the poor? Poor don't have. Have you ever noticed if you're going to be a burglar, you don't break into a poor person's house because they don't have anything worth stealing. You don't go to the pawn shop to raid their safe. You go to a bank. Why? They have money. They have goods that are more worthwhile to steal. The only authentic persons among the progressives today are those who are categorized as victims, which they celebrate. That's the only true authentic person is victims, because we all know the oppressors oppress. That's what they do. That's why we call them oppressors. But the authentic person are the victims because they can't fight for themselves. They can't do anything. That's why they are opposed to charter schools, public or private education. They oppose these things. Why? Because once you get educated, do you ever wonder why the slave owners did not want the slaves to be able to read? It wasn't that they thought they were too stupid to read. They knew once you begin to read, once you become literate, you begin to think for yourself. And that becomes a danger. So the progressive movement wants government-funded, government-mandated, government-run schools because they are trying to make bricks to where everybody thinks alike. If you break free of victimhood, then you become part of the oppressive elite. Now, I was shocked at this because, we all know that Islam, the only way you can get to heaven, be guaranteed to go to heaven, is to die as a martyr. So Islam always has to have a class of people to fight against. The Shari Muslims fight against the Sunni Muslims, and there's an intense war because both of them say you're not true Muslims. In some of the Muslim countries, they don't even count as population the other Muslims because they don't even recognize that they exist. So they've always got to have a war. There's always, because how do you get to heaven if everybody becomes Muslim? There's always got to be an infidel. In the same way, the socialists, the progressives, have always got to have an oppressor to liberate people from. The only problem is once you liberate the victim and give them wealth and give them power, they become automatically an oppressor, and now they must be thrown out. So there's always got to be one or the two. If you're not a victim, you're part of the oppressing class and you're our enemy and we've got to pull you down. So therefore, every time that a victim becomes free of victimhood, they become part of the oppressor class. And if you watch this, watch the news media, watch what they're saying, you can see this living out on television. What are victims? Well, feminism, blackness, being Hispanic, being gay, being an illegal, these are all victim statuses. If you're a woman, you're automatically a victory. That's why Hillary Clinton said, you are not an authentic woman if you didn't vote for her. Huh? You're not a genuine woman if you did not vote for Hillary Clinton. Why? Because all women need to band together. In other words, we all, as women, we all need to think alike. You all need to think alike. As men, men don't think, you know. You know, the only Hillary actually said the only reason women didn't vote for her is they're dominated by their husband. Victim oppressor. Victim oppressor. Okay, let's go on. But if you break free of victimhood, you become an unauthentic woman, you become a non-black, you become a white male, etc. Let me give you some examples. Sarah Palin, Justice Clarence Thomas, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Herman Cain, Diamond and Silk, Star Parker, Lawrence Jones. These people, the black people in this have been called all kinds of names because they're not authentic black. They left the plantation. And we can't have that because they're thinking for themselves. Think about that. There's some of these people I named that when they were in school, they were put down by the other members of their class because they were educated, because they were getting smart. But they got out of the ghetto. They became brain surgeons. They became economic people that know these things. They became entrepreneurs. Herman Cain is an entrepreneur. Diamond and Silk, you know, we all know who they are. They've been banned from Facebook because of their racism. Excuse me? I know we're really digging in politics here, but I want to stay here for a minute. This is the reason why many elite still cling to their victim status. Well, who are the elite that cling to their victim status? Have you ever heard, now this is so funny because they're no longer victims. They're part of what I would consider the ruling elite, but they still claim victim status. Now, who are these? Some of these people I'm thinking about? Hillary Clinton. You know the reason she didn't win the presidency is because she's a woman. That's out of her mouth. It's not out of anybody else's. She failed to win because people hate women. She's claiming victim status. She was the most, or by Barack Obama's standards, she was one of the most capable people in history of ever having the presidency, even more capable than him himself. And yet she didn't win because she's a woman. She's claiming victim status while she's part of the ruling elite. Let me give you some other names. How about Barack Obama? Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Keith Ellison, Joy Behar on The View. She's still a victim. She's a woman. She's a victim. Even though she's got this show and she's able to spread her propaganda everywhere, she's still a victim. Bless her poor little darling heart. If I had my own TV show, I'd be considered one of the elite. But she's a victim. Why? They're claiming the victim status because if you're not a victim, you become part of the oppressor class and you must be overthrown. So they've got to keep hanging on to the victim status to be genuine people. Now, let's put up 2 Timothy 3:14. in response to these last days. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." See, with all this stuff going on, you can't be bewitched. You can't be persuaded by these things. You've got to hang on to make a determined effort to not be moved by what you have taught, because what you've been taught is true. This is what Paul was saying to the Galatians. Christ has been shown before you as being crucified and raised from the dead. If you leave this concept, you will become bewitched by the things of the world. Now, real quickly, the answer is not becoming like them, but hearing the heavenly voice and being obedient to God. That's the key, to not harden your heart to the things of God. Again, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." See, this is important, because once you give up your liberty, it's hard to get it back. Look at Venezuela. They gave up their liberty. Now they don't know what's going on down there. You know, did you know that the socialist government still has close to a 50% support rate in the nation? They're starving. They've got 100% inflation. They have no doctors, no medicine, no food, no electricity, no oil. Their government's corrupt, beating people. And, you know, all this has been openly demonstrated. And people still say, "We want socialism." See, it's hard to get back your sanity once you've been committed to an insane asylum. Our freedom, this is what we need to understand as believers. Our freedom in Christ does not function automatically. The devil is always seeking whom he may devour, and legalism is one of the greatest weapons he has to defeat us. Think about this. The Nancy Pelosi is telling Christians we need to love like Jesus. Nancy Pelosi, this is just amazing to me. I have heard more God talk out of the Democrats in the last 18 months than I have ever heard of them. They are opposed to prayer in schools. They are opposed to teaching American history the way it has traditionally been. And now they're throwing up as to us Christians, "You don't love the way Christ loved." You remember Christ made a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple? I would think they would love this. I mean, you talk about overthrowing the oppressor, but the problem is they're the oppressors. With their PC language, with their "you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't go here, you can't do that." I mean, they're calling each other racist now. I love it, you know? I mean, the home of KKK, it was and is the Democratic Party. It said the other day that one of the questions about Joe Biden is he gave the eulogy at Robert Byrd's funeral. An admitted grand wizard of the KKK. And him and Hillary have both talked about how instrumental they were in their lives and in their politics. What? Can you imagine if Donald Trump would ever even attend a service for a former grand wizard? What they would do. Joe Biden had the eulogy for Robert Byrd. Again, Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Let me close with this. Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. I'm trying to open some eyes today. But Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, but, oh man, I want to back up from this, and I can't do that. Verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." See, he's telling us, you're not just free to do whatever you want to do, regardless of anybody else. No, no, no. We've been set free, but he said, but we can use our liberty to get by and explain anything we want to do. He said, no, that's not the purpose of your liberty. Your liberty is you're free from sin to serve God. You're free from lust and anger to love and to heal. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, Paul would write to the Corinthians. But he says, "But for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this." Say it with me. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. See, he's encouraging us. We need to learn how to walk by the Spirit. Now, I'll say this here. With everything I've said, we need to walk and live with our eyes open. We need to see what's going on around us and see the bewitching that is coming upon our nation. But we cannot respond in kind. We don't hate these people. We want to see them get born again. We want to see their eyes open like we want to see our eyes open. Because if you condemn something too much, you can become just like them and fall into the same trap. Because once you get a taste of power, it's hard to give it up. And the easiest way to not do that is just don't do it. Now, there's a difference between having dominion and having unlimited power. We're to take dominion. But our power comes from God. And if we love one another even as we love ourselves and love your neighbor as we love ourselves, then we want to treat our neighbor the way we want to be treated. But you know, there's evil out there that don't abide by that rule. And we've got to recognize that and not become like them, but yet resist them. And yet not give away our liberty and our freedom. One of the things about the American Revolution, I've said this multiple times before, but it's so important, it needs to be stressed. They didn't want to leave England. They didn't want to lead a rebellion. But for several years, they had petitioned England. Said, this king is unfair. We are citizens of England. We belong to you. And the king said, "No, you don't. You're not citizens, you're colonies. And as colonies, we have the right to regulate you. And as colonies, we can set taxes on you that we would not set on citizens that live in England." And they said, "But we are citizens. We are loyal to the crown. We are loyal to the nation of England. We don't want to break the laws." And the final struggle came when they said, "Your pastors are just too rebellious." And the first thing, like Lyndon Johnson, the first thing they wanted to do was to control the ministers and control the pulpits because they didn't want people to think for themselves. And so when they passed a decree in England, "We're going to replace all the local ministers with the bricks that we've produced in England." The colony said, "Uh-uh, we're not going there. We have the freedom and the liberty that we have because we have been following the Word of God." Knowing that they didn't follow everything, knowing that they didn't understand everything, but they said, we've come here. The crown didn't help us. The crown sent us over here to get rid of us because we were a pain in their side and they were hoping we would get killed by the Indians. And so you sent us over to die, but we survived because of the blessings of God. And the liberty that God has given to us, we are not going to give that up. And they quoted the Bible scripture when they told the disciples to not preach any longer in the name of Jesus. He said, "We must obey God rather than men." And see, this is, I think, one of the crises that we're at right now. The church has got to decide whether we're going to serve God or we're going to serve people. And if you serve people, you're going to be a victim. Because you're looking for people to deliver you and looking for people to set you free. But if you are free in Christ, you're not an oppressor. You're free. Just because you have freedom doesn't mean you're an oppressor. It means you're free from oppression. And because we're free, we don't want to see that come on anybody. That's why the United States of America has fought more wars to free more people from more tyranny and more dictatorships than any nation in history ever. And we've won every time because of our faith in God, because of our love for liberty. And if we lose our love for liberty, then we will be a nation gone under. But worse, we will be a church that's gone under and a people of God that has yielded our God-given liberty a way to men that don't care about God or liberty, either one. Let's stand. I'm hoping to open some eyes today to see, to let you see the things that are going on. And you can watch this play out in the news media. No matter what channel you watch, you can watch it. And you can hear these things being said. Father God, we give you praise. We thank you, Father. We once were blind, but now we have eyes to see. And Father, I pray that our eyes will see clearly and accurately. God, we don't want to be brought into trivial arguments about this and that, and he said, she said, but God, we want to see your will and your moving in the earth. We want to be those people, Father, that will stand behind you and stand with you for the liberation of the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, America sends out the gospel to all the nations in the world. We support ministries. We support evangelists. We support denominations throughout the world. And Father, I've been told by Africans, I've been told by Haitians, that if the United States would fail, let the thrust of evangelism around the world would cease to exist because they depend upon our generosity to preach the gospel. Father, I pray and I know, God, that it is not your will for us to fail. But I pray for the people of God to have the resolve to stand with you, God, against those forces that are godless and unyielding to you. Father, we pray your will be done in the earth, even as it is done in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.